Hello and welcome into the Sight and Sound Technology Podcast. This is episode number 29. My name is Stuart Lawler, and on this episode, we're catching up with visually impaired vlogger Siobhan Mead. Well, on this podcast episode, it's all about a vlogger that I came across a couple of months ago, actually. I've been following her, thoroughly enjoying her YouTube channel, and I think you will too if you haven't engaged with it already. You'll know all about it by the end of this podcast. But I'm delighted to be joined today by Siobhan Mead, vlogger extraordinaire. Siobhan, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Stuart. Great to be on.
Yeah, great to have you. Let's before we find out a little bit about you, and I know you're doing loads of videos. How are you doing with all the COVID madness that's going on? Has it been impacting your life much?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Totally impacted in every sense, because when we first as a country were going into lockdown, and when the whole COVID struck, it was like the unknown. What do we do? How are we going to get support? How are we going to get assistance? And it was like literally blindly going out into the world, into your community, with so many restrictions. So for me, it was just not knowing what to do and how to get help and the best way forward to get and reach what you wanted to do. And my mental health, I'm going to be real, I'm going to be open and honest with you. My mental health did suffer, because we weren't able to do anything like to go and see family and friends and socialize. It was a very isolating place.
You know, a lot of people, or certainly a few people, have said to me, and I certainly felt this way as well, that a lot of us who what might have said pre-COVID, you know, I'm very independent, I can work away, do, you know, X, Y, and Z, suddenly found a huge reliance on people and a nervousness about going out because of social distancing. And I think a lot of us still feel that way.
Oh, I completely agree with you. And I found that because I like to be as independent as I can, and having to rely on other people to then, you know, support you in ways that you never really thought you would need that help again, it was kind of soul destroying. Because, for example, I wanted to be able to get shopping, and doing that was a real, real challenge, not just trying to get any online slots, but just for someone to be able to assist around the store, because they weren't familiar with what they should be doing. The policies and procedures were not quite there. And obviously social distancing. So I can completely agree with how everyone must be feeling.
It's been a very strange time, and I suppose it's going to be strange for a while. Siobhan, let's talk a little bit about yourself. And if you don't mind, your eye condition, are you totally blind, or have you a little bit of vision, or where do you stand on that?
I lost all of my sight at 16. However, I was born with congenital cataracts and a varying degree of other sight issues. So I've always had a visual impairment, but at 16, I lost all of my sight by walking into a swing door at school. So I lost a little bit of remaining vision that I had. Now, it wasn't a lot, but it was enough for me to be able to use it to my advantage. And then losing that literally just a few days after my 16th birthday, it was, you know, month of December, Christmas coming up. It was a very challenging time. And I, to be honest, I did struggle. So that's kind of my vision loss in a nutshell. Now I have no sight at all. So I just basically rely very much on technology to live as independently as I can.
I've heard a lot of people saying things like when you have a little bit of vision that you probably learn to use really, really well for so many things every day. Losing that must be still quite a big thing.
It was massive, actually, because even though for many people, sighted people, even like my family and my friends, they couldn't really understand how I kind of could feel, you know, such a loss, because it wasn't really a great deal to begin with. But, you know, shadows and certain lights were a massive help to me, learning and knowing where the front door was, because the light would come in so I could aim for that. So little things like that, that, you know, were a massive help to me, then you know, totally went overnight, literally complete darkness. So I was plunged into having to learn my own identity, mobility, and ways of coping and adapting. So it was very hard. And especially at 16, you know, when the world is your oyster and you mm-hmm. want to go off and do everything, I had to kind of relearn that before I could even do what my other friends were doing.
All right. No doubt technology is playing a huge part in your life. And we'd probably hear about this as we chat about the vlogging, because that's what we really wanted to bring you on to talk about. Your YouTube channel, which I came across, I think I saw it on Twitter first, and I've been kind of following it and watching some of the videos, which are really well produced. What got you into this? Because you're sort of talking a lot about things you come across every day. You know, it strikes me as the type of thing, if a car is parked on the pavement and you walk into the car, you strike me as the type of person who'd take out your phone and do a video there and then. Is that what got you into that kind of thing?
What I wanted to do, so I started my YouTube channel back in 2012, but it sat dormant for so many years because I wanted to kind of gain my confidence. And it wasn't until about 4 years ago when I really started it up again, when I was like having problems with like cars parked on pavements, and I was finding so many different issues within the community, and I wanted to positively raise awareness to educate people about cluttered streets and parking on pavements and bikes and all these sorts of things. And I thought, do you know what? I can actually really kind of make some difference in the community I live. And that's where I really thought that my vlogs could really inspire people, but also make a difference about, you know, how we can all live together. And that's really where it started, because I wanted to be a platform where I could share my experiences, but also I wanted a place where people could come and just get an insight of what blindness is all about.
How do you do that as a totally blind person, produce these videos and, you know, be confident, or as confident as you can be, I suppose, that they're going to be visually, that you're pointing at the right thing? And is that where you use technology? Because it's that's certainly something that I would be very anxious about producing.
Yes, I will be honest with you. Some of the videos, my authentic videos, I'm probably not always getting things that I want in the screen. So it could be half of my head missing. which, you know, at the end of the day, you're coming to my channel, you know that I'm totally blind. You're going to be expecting that the lighting or that the picture isn't going to be great, or what I'm trying to show you out and about is not necessarily going to be 100%. However, this is where we get onto technology and various different apps I use. So to begin with, I was using Be My Eyes to frame up my camera to make sure that what I'm doing is, you know, whether I'm in focus or not. So I started doing that indoors on a tripod. And then over the course of the time, I then found out about Aira. And they are absolutely amazing about letting me know what the framing is like and the lighting. So I've been able to kind of utilize someone else's eyes to enable me to make sure that the shots are really, really good.
And have you found the Aira service versus, say, Be My Eyes? Because, okay, they're two great services. It's probably important to say that. But is the Aira service a little more precise? Maybe you get slightly better information in terms of things like lining up the frames?
For me personally, I love Aira. And I think it's because they have training with in terms of visual impairment. So maybe know how to describe things a bit better and ask you what things you're looking for, because they've had that training. They're both brilliant. I use them both very differently. But in terms of Aira, I found that, you know, when I'm asking for specific things, that I found it to be a lot, the information to be a lot better, personally speaking.
Okay. I've really found your YouTube channel. I mean, I've thoroughly enjoyed it, and there's been some very funny ones, and we're going to talk about the sandwich video in a sec. But just on a serious note as well, you've flagged some really tough issues. For example, taxi drivers not wanting to take you and your guide dog. I think I watched one a couple of weeks ago that you'd caught on camera, where the guy was just sort of saying, get out, or, you know, go over there, or get out of my way. Some horrific stuff going on that you're raising awareness.
Yeah, I think it's important to, you know, showcase the issues that people who are blind or visually impaired people face, and try and positively educate people that just because I happen to work with a guide dog, you know, my guide dog is, you know, is my eyes, and that it's my mobility, and it's an offence, you know, to not allow my dog access to where, you know, where everyone else is allowed access. Now, that was a prime example coming back from the Isle of Wight and getting to Portsmouth, want to get a cab, we have a train to catch, and then happen to kind of reiterate that it is a guide dog and, you know, you can't refuse. And it was just the case where I was just like, not wanting to crumble, but my confidence, I'm a very confident person, as many people will see, but underneath, you know, it's that fight or flight, and I think I don't want to have to keep fighting, but I did. I stood in front of the car. I'm not advocating people do that, you know, safety and all that first, so don't try this at home.
Yeah.
You know, because I was just like, you're not getting away, I'm not going to allow you to drive off. So we did actually get in the cab, but then he wanted to charge 70p extra for both of our guide dogs, and again we said no. And he didn't charge, but it was just that, you know, highlighting these are, you know, it's quite horrific, really, when you think about it, whether it's hate crime, whether it's looking at, you know, access refusals because you happen to work with guide dog, or just other things like that, that are just a challenge. And sometimes it can be quite upsetting if, you know, you're not used to it.
And I think the great thing about what you're doing on your channel is that there's probably a lot of people who might have had that situation where the taxi arrives and the guy says, no guide dog. And you just say, you know something, okay, go on, I'll get the next one, because I don't want the hassle. I've come off the, you know, in your case, I'm going to go for the train, I'm just tired. But you stood out and said no, and got this on film. And it's a really good clip. I advise anyone to go and watch it. It's very, very good. What about the other one I thoroughly enjoyed recently, the sandwich test? It's a great one. So a chicken and stuffing sandwich from three different outlets, I think. Is that right?
Yeah. So I've got three different sorts of sandwiches. Two of them were from Poundland and one of them was from Tesco. And I just wanted to see what difference they were from one to the other in terms of, like, you know, supermarkets. And I was pleasantly surprised. I was thinking, oh, no, you know, it's for a pound, a sandwich from Poundland, it's really going to be rubbish. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, if you quickly want a snack, you know, it's not as bad as dog food, I promise you. Honest. Well, and this is my honest opinion based on fact, okay, for any of the lawyers that want to come for me.
Okay, I watched it. I watched that one, I think, just before I was having my lunch one day, and I was like, oh, God, I'd love it. Nice chicken and stuffing sandwich now. Siobhan has made me nicely hungry. What sort of reaction are you getting? Because I know that you're very active on social media. There's a lot of videos up there. What are people saying?
People do like the blind taste test, you know, trying to keep it real, because, you know, I'm going to be saying it from, you know, what it tastes like. Some people might be look at it and give it one glance and be like, oh no, I definitely don't want that, that doesn't look appealing. But I'm just going by taste, obviously, and people are like, yeah, come on, keep it going, because, you know, I'm really enjoying them. They're fun, you know, they're kind of like honest reviews, and you know, I'm all up for being totally open and honest and transparent. That's just me. You're going to get warts and all. So people are really liking them. So, you know, every now and again I will put kind of a blind taste test out there, because I enjoy doing them as well, even though some of them I'm a little bit, you know, nervous about trying, just in case they're totally disgusting.
Well, they're great. I've no doubt people are listening and going, I want to check out these videos. If you haven't seen these yet, they're well worth watching. How can people keep up to date with your with what you're doing on social media?
So you can pop along to my YouTube, which is youtube.com/blindgirlvlogs, or you can hit me up on Twitter at CBMead, SIBBYMEADE. It'd be great to have you come along for the journey.
Indeed, come along for the journey. It's well worth going on. Siobhan, great to chat to you. Stay safe and well, and thanks a mil for chatting to us.
Oh, thanks, Stuart.
Many thanks to Siobhan Mead. I thoroughly enjoyed that chat, and I highly recommend Siobhan's YouTube channel. You can follow her, of course, on YouTube and social media, Twitter and Facebook as well. Now, that's just about it for this episode of our podcast. Stay safe and well. And remember, you can get in touch at any time if you want to send an email to podcast@sightandsound.co.uk. We always love to hear from you. Until next time, though, this is Stuart Lawler saying take care, goodbye, and thanks for listening.